Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Perry Township Board of Supervisors meeting for December the 3rd. I'd like to let everyone know that the board did meet in executive session from 6 to 7 to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Now, if you would please join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Christman, would you please do the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Court?
Here.
Supervisor Engel?
Here.
Supervisor Moyer?
Here.
Supervisor Beer?
Here.
And Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Vice President, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Christman. Just as a reminder to everyone present that all public sessions of the Township of Barry Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes, and speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. For those of you who may be new to the meeting, I just wanted to let you know we have a device here to help you regulate yourself when you're up there. It's hard to know what is 3 minutes, so when you start to speak, I'll turn this light to green. When you have a minute left, I'll turn to yellow, and when it turns red, I just respectfully ask that you wrap up your comments, just to allow enough time for everybody in the room to share their thoughts with the board this evening. With that, if anyone has some comments they'd like to share with the board, we invite you to come up to the podium and give us your name and your address. And again, please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Thank you. Good evening. Natalie Knack, 502 Sophia Circle. Oh, which one?
You want to turn it on? We're here. There we go.
Natalie Knack, 502 Sophia Circle, Hummelstown.
Carter Wyckoff, 1661 Sherwood.
Before we get into the meeting, we just wanted to make a comment in regards to what's on the agenda.
I don't think anyone can hear you.
Sorry. Before we get in the meeting, we just wanted to make a comment in regards to some issues that are on the agenda. Carter and I are both sure that when the board started the project of the Recreation Center, that you had the very best interest of the township in mind. We come into this process with a very unique perspective in the fact that we've spent the last 9 months meeting residents, speaking with them, and listening to them at their doors. The overwhelming majority of residents were clear in their opposition to this project in its current state.
Natalie, I apologize. They can't hear you in the back. Would you please turn the microphone toward you? Thank you. I'm sorry.
Whoops. That's Tom's all up. Okay. Carter and I have spent the last 9 months speaking and listening to residents at their doors, and we bring that unique perspective here tonight. The overwhelming majority of residents were clear in their opposition to this project in its current state. The voters spoke, and we ask you to respect their voice and delay action on this project. There are still many critical issues that need to be resolved before taking final action, and we discourage this board from making any decisions that can't be undone, including demolition and auctioning off the outdoor pool equipment and infrastructure. Nothing will be off the table when we inherit this project next month. Thank you.
Carter, did you have anything to add? Or?
No, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else like to make some comments tonight?
Richard Gamble, Harpersville Road. I'm going to ask that when you start your discussion and reviewing the bid process, that if somebody could honestly tell us how much money you actually spent over the period of time. That's one question I'd like an answer. So at this point, what, $4 million, $5 million without the extra amounts you're going to sign for? Second question is, why were the bids sent out incomplete? Why were 11 issues dropped from the initial bid plan? Was that to keep the bid down? And I'd like an answer to that. Please. And third, with the new board coming in place in a month, I think with respect to those people coming on board and at the request of the people that voted them in, I think you should give them the consideration and allow them to make the decisions, such a big decision that's coming forward. So if I can get the answers tonight, and there's been discussion, who's for conflict of interest, what's been going on over the years? And we heard Mr. Engel said, oh, it won't cost us a dime. He was involved in that, and it's going to cost us a dime. We had the, a lot of things took place. Justin and I talked about when they had to relocate the post office. He said he was working on getting in the old Mammy's Bakery. You know, is there some form of conflict of interest maybe showing up here? These are the things that people ask me. And I said, well, I'm not afraid to ask a question. But, you know, if somebody's out there brokering to relocate the post office, and he's on this board, and then all of a sudden we get a true hotel bill, maybe there is some question about that. Maybe you can address that next time they ask me. I'll give them your email, and you can address it directly. I can't answer it. But does it give the impression of a conflict? It could. And I don't think this board needs that reputation. Right now, as they said earlier, majority of the people have some concern. It's not that they don't want a community center. They don't want a competitive venture. What does it do us? We get nothing. Yeah, the businesses make money. Most of the businesses are owned by Hershey Records and Resorts. We as a taxpayer are paying to pay to build this venue for a, quote, competition pool. And last question is, I can remember standing here when all these groups were talking about, we want the pool, we want the pool, we want the pool. I think somebody even said they paid the difference. Did you get the check yet? Or are they stepping forward? I haven't seen them here since we got past this point. So where is this money coming? My recommendation, it's a good recommendation, is let's wait till we get all the money in place. Let's get the confidence that we know we're building a safe facility, that we're not going to run the risk of our community members. And please, respect the oncoming supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble.
Good evening. My name is Kent Crawford. I live at 1115 Stonegate Road in Hummelstown. That's, of course, in Derry Township, and it is just to the north of the Fox Glen Road planned subdivision. And I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of our homeowners relative to the Fox Glen Road development. This development is really one that should never have been approved. It's on a plot of land that requires many waivers before building can proceed. And now this summer, there's been a travesty that I think needs to be corrected, and I don't see anyone willing to do the correction. So if you take a look at the handout, the first picture on page one, the top of page one, shows a debris field. That's in Shank Park. Just to the right of this picture is the Donello home at the end of Fox Glen Road. And this occurred after a storm in the summer of 2017. So the problems with water from Fox Glen are not new. They're, in fact, longstanding. We know that. The problem is, are we going to exacerbate these problems by adding impervious area to that region? So in the summer of 2019, just a few months ago, the developer started hauling in dirt. They found apparently inexpensive dirt from the post office site in downtown Harrisburg. They hauled in, according to the truck operator, 600 loads of dirt to fill in where Fox Glen Road development would be. There was a swale in there. It's steep terrain, and the terrain drains from the south to the north. It just so happens that to the north is the Walton Cross subdivision. So in July of this year, after the dirt had been falled in and compacted, there was a storm. It wasn't a long storm. It was a short storm, but it was pretty intense. And so the bottom picture on page one shows the playhouse in the background of my next door neighbor's yard. And you can see the debris flow coming through the yard and into the ditch and draining farther to the east. Then on page two, the top picture shows the water flowing under the bridge from Walton Cross Subdivision to Shank Park. muddy as it can be. And page two at the bottom shows what happened on Stonegate Road. The water flowed onto Stonegate Road, including the mud. The water left, the mud stayed. In fact, Stonegate Road got repaved this summer for the first time in 30 years. We've lived, that subdivision has been around for 30, 31 years. The road got repaved, and no more than two, 3 days later, it got mudded, and it's still muddy today. Who's going to clean up the mud? Who's going to clean up the debris in Bullfrog Valley Pond, which is already has another delta forming? We scooped it out not too long ago. How much did that cost? Who paid for it? I think this subdivision is ill-advised on a poor piece of property and is going to cause additional problems. And I hope we can do something to make sure the developer becomes more attuned to the neighborhood and to the township. I don't object to someone developing their land. I do object when that development causes problems for neighbors and for the township in general.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
Thank you.
We'll certainly have staff take a look at this and appreciate the handouts and the explanation.
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. Legacy is defined as something from the past that affects the present and future. Legacy costs have shut down businesses and bankrupted cities when poor decisions are made. I'm not going to repeat, but I am in support of what Natalie Carter and Rich said earlier, that the voters spoke. There was a referendum, though you chose not to have a referendum for this project. But there was a voters' referendum, and they voted for the people not wanting to see excessive costs. The debt limit will be pushed. The debt will be pushed to the debt limit. There is no solid plan that I have seen. Very little has been discussed for the business plan, except that the taxpayers will be on the hook for operating losses and all of the debt service. To me, that's irresponsible, and it could be done better.
Thank you, Linda.
Good evening, John Foley, Mine Road. I'm rising tonight in opposition to the comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance vote that's going to take place tonight. As I've said in the prior meetings, this process has been flawed from the inception. Our residents were asked to come and meet and talk about the ideas and initiatives in the downtown. That was the premise behind it. But we learned last week, 7 days ago, that this was not just a zoning change for the downtown. It was an entirely new zoning ordinance. This has not been properly vetted. We've heard about monumental changes, as Supervisor Engel said. This is going to have a monumental impact. And yet we're rushing it in less than 6 months. The residents are going to be imposed with a 64-page addition to the current zoning. And yet we don't know anything about it. What we did as a township, as you folks have led, is that we've checked the appropriate boxes to ensure that when it goes up to the county that, yes, it met the criteria. But it doesn't meet the needs. We've talked about consultants. We've hired the best. Well, we heard that the first consultant when it was tied to the rec center. We discounted that one. Hired another one, discounted that one. Now we have one for the zoning ordinance. And we're supposed to believe that that's one, that this is the one that's right. This has been nothing but a rush to change and push things through, whether it's this rec center initiative or it's a township ordinance. There's current litigation right now with regard to the zoning ordinance. Chapter 89 is subject. But yet we want to rush because we don't want to hear what the judge has to say. Let the courts decide, because that's what the litigation is about. Our residents don't know the depths of this zoning change. It's been anything but transparent. It's time to do better. We all deserve better. Thank you.
Anyone else have any comments they'd like to share?
Dennis Trout, 2010 Locust Lane. We've received hard copies and emails of in greater detail than what I'm about to speak. It is hereby requesting any decision to move forward to consider or approve any Hershey Community Center construction contracts should be tabled for 30 days for just cause. It appears that the majority of this board's objective and priority is to provide competitive swimming sports venues. To do so, it has decided to more than double the township's outstanding debt to bring its total debt to near the maximum permitted by law. After two failed attempts to fund a community center with an Olympic-sized 50-meter competitive pool, the board appears to have cut corners regarding public safety in order to make a smaller competitive venue possible within the available budget. The board's consultants estimate that 10 competitive meets would provide roughly $2.2 million additional in revenue to the hotels, restaurants, and other businesses, including Hershey Park and Herco. However, it will cost the taxpayers greater than $3 million a year in order that incoming revenue to businesses may be increased to $2.2 million. Of which only tens of thousands will be added to the township's coffers. It is unjustifiable that the safety of the community center users is secondary to the increasing revenues to businesses at four times the cost of previous funding of taxpayers for the old center. Expedient first priority must be given to lives, limbs, and property over hasty, unjustified, or wasteful decisions to fund a free swimming pool facility that any parts of which and the patrons may end down in a sinkhole. The board's expert consultants have recommended both an independent third-party review of their analysis and findings, and second, the best method of preventing sinkhole damage. To date, the majority of this board has chosen to disregard both of the above recommendations of their hired experts. Why hire consultants at great expense to the taxpayers if the expert consultant's advice is to be disregarded? For several years, some members of the board have erred or obfuscated the facts and the previous claims to the public in order to promote construction of the community center. I have provided details of those mistakes and errors in previous written documents and in oral presentations. Two municipalities, and I realize my time is short here, but it's important. Lancaster City and Hemsville Township have both declined, such as the Hershey community is now fraught with a grandiose facility.
Thank you, Mr.
Chow. Just let me hit the conclusion. Despite the fact that the community center has been used annually by 2 to 12% of the residents, a 30-day delay is justified in that available facilities in Hummelstown, Palmyra, Middletown, Penn State, Middletown campus, and Harrisburg are available, and they are at equivalent or lesser costs, and we as taxpayers don't provide the funding in our taxes to support them. In conclusion, it is requested that the board not compound its previous mistakes by a premature move or to approve community center construction bids.
Mr. Trout, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you're a minute over your time, and I want to be respectful of everybody else in the room. And since you've already provided this by email and in print, the board can certainly read the rest of it after the meeting.
Okay, just one last sentence. It's hoped that the majority of this current board has the integrity to make and approve a motion to delay or table decisions and let the new board deal with the problems.
Thank you very much. evening.
I'm Pam Ruddle, 241 Bahia Avenue, Hershey. On this Giving Tuesday, I want to thank all of you supervisors for all the time you have given to the community center and the various other issues in the township. I, for one, I guess is probably maybe not the popular request tonight, but I am going to request that you move forward with the community center. Our community is so divided on this issue, and it's sad. And so I think the community needs to pull together. I think we need to get a community center for the youth in this township. That center has been closed, as you know, and it needed to be. But I'm just asking that you move forward with the community center. I know that it isn't a rush decision. I know how hard you guys have all worked on that. So thank you.
Christine Drexler, 28 Penzance Road, Hershey. I'm going to echo what Pam said. I've been fighting for this for a very long time. John, I remember a conversation that we had outside the polls where you said the fire department's first, the rec center's next in line. That was years ago, and we did nothing. We encompassed that debt for years and years and years, and we did nothing. How dare we stand before you who have done something and have taken action and disrespect you in that manner? You had the foresight to say yes and to do something, and I am grateful for that. I am a visionary, and I can see the opportunity. The library was voted down. The people, the referendum, it was voted down, and the people spoke, and the library moved forward. The library is in the midst of another remodel. You guys are taking that same leap of faith. And 10 years from now, when that facility is thriving just, or maybe 5 years, or 2 years from now, when that facility is thriving and our community is coming together, all of this knot that you have endured, you will see the fruit of your labor. And I implore you to move forward with this decision tonight, not because it was easy, but because it's right.
Is there anyone else who would like to make comments this evening? There'll be another opportunity at the end of the meeting, although I can't guarantee what hour that will be. But there'll be another opportunity to address the board. Thank you all for your comments this evening. And Haley's welcome the opportunity to hear from residents, and we appreciate that. Before we get into our new business for this evening, there's a matter that I would like to discuss with the board and the public that isn't on the agenda, and that's related to the township's responsibility to provide police support, municipal support, in the event that there is a political campaign rally. And this is something that has certainly gotten the attention of a lot of people of late, because we have a campaign rally that is now scheduled for our community at the Giant Center on December the 10th. And this board has been looking into that since we found this out. We found out about the rally on November 21st when the phone started beeping with Penn Live stories that that there was a rally coming to town. So we started to ask the question, what is our obligation as a township? And that's right. Our obligation as a township, of course, is to provide support to protect our residents and to protect the guests who come in and out of our community every day. So that's what we knew was our obligation. However, what we started to discuss was what is our financial obligation to provide this support. We have provided that kind of municipal police support for decades for other political candidates when they've come into town, but I, for one, and I believe some of the other board members would join me in this, believe that just because we've done it one way for decades doesn't mean we need to continue to do it that way. So in conversations with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts since November 21st, when we learned of the rally coming, we started to ask the questions about, not just for this rally, of course, because it's not about this particular candidate, it's about all political rallies. How do we handle these moving forward? And is there an opportunity to discuss how the township might look to seek for some sort of reimbursement for the services that are provided? So it's our understanding that that this particular rally, that contracts have been signed and things are already pretty late in the game. This board will continue to work with Hershey Entertainment and Resorts to explore some possibilities to seek some remuneration as we move forward, because invariably, because we live in this great community with wonderful venues, this is not the last campaign rally we're going to see in this election. I'm sure that a number of candidates are going to be coming through Hershey, and we want to make sure that we're exploring all possibilities to look for some funding to help cover the expenses that come with that police support. I can tell you that from these conversations that we have found out that there will be parking charged for this particular rally on December the 10th, so at least there will be some parking tax that will come back to the taxpayers from that, and that moving forward we have requested from Hershey Entertainment Resorts that they should notify us in advance when these conversations are starting to happen so that we at least know about it before we read it in the paper and we can start to take some appropriate action. So I'm sure that's on the minds of many folks out here and certainly folks in our community. So we just wanted to let you know that we are discussing it and working toward finding some solutions as we move forward. Thank you. You guys can get your microphones out. anything else that you guys want to add about that? So let's move on then to item A1 through 5 on the agenda, which is adoption of resolution number 1601 to adopt the township's 2020 budget and adoption of resolution number 1602 to establish real estate taxes for 2020. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the board is aware, we had a public hearing on Thursday, November 6th. At 5:30 p.m., where the board reviewed the draft proposed budget, which is before you this evening. It was placed on public display on November 7th and has been duly advertised as per the second-class township code. We are in a position this evening to adopt the budget, and that is what is before you in Resolution 1601 and 1602. 1601 specifically adopts the budget for 2020, and 1602 sets the real estate tax millage rate for fiscal year 2020 as well. So total millage in the proposed millage rate for 2020 is 2.5381 mils, and that includes a 0.25 millage tax increase over the previous year. If there are any questions from the board at this point, it's in a position to be adopted this evening.
And Mr. Christman, just for clarification, these are two separate resolutions, is that correct?
That is correct.
Does anyone have any questions regarding the first agenda item, Resolution 1601? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that resolution number 1601, a resolution of the Township of Derry appropriating specific sums estimated to be required for specific purposes of the municipal government as herein set forth, and the total amount of $20,793,327 for the year 2020 is hereby approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries 4-1. The next item related to this agenda item, do I have a motion that resolution number 1602, a resolution of the Township of Derry, Dauphin County, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, establishing the real estate millage rate for 2020 at 2.5381 mils is hereby approved?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion also carries 4-1. Next item on the agenda. This is B1 through 52. The revised preliminary final land development plan for the Dairy Township Community Center, plat number 1320. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This plan revises plat 1303, which was recorded previously. The subject site totals 17.8 acres of gross area with a net developable area of 13.5 acres after floodplain steep slopes and areas of right-of-way have been deducted. The development property is in the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District and currently contains the township's recreation center, outdoor swimming pool, Cocoa Castle playground, tennis courts, and associated parking. Plat 1320 proposes demolition of the buildings and outdoor pool and construction of the new community center, including an indoor competition pool, leisure pool, gymnasium, exercise and fitness areas, locker room, senior center area, and office space. The new outdoor swimming pool is also proposed to replace the existing outdoor facility. Cocoa Castle will remain with the new center. In addition to the development proposed on the above-mentioned property, the parking facility expansion is proposed at the Dairy Township Public Library site. The northern access drive currently serving the community center will remain. Two macadam pedestrian paths are proposed to connect the Township School District property to the north and east of the community center to accommodate pedestrian access and shared parking areas. The parking demands for the site have been calculated to be a total of 732 spaces. The plan indicates that 387 spaces are provided on site, with an additional 435 spaces provided off-site at the school district property, totaling 822 parking spaces, well in excess of what's required. I'll also note that there is a special exception previously granted for the off-site parking of the school district. In addition to that parking, there is available parking on street along Cocoa Avenue that can help meet any overflow demands. The impervious areas will be served by three stormwater management facilities, one on each side of the outdoor swimming pool and the third located to the north of the building and east of the tennis courts. These facilities will provide both runoff freight control and water quality measures to meet township and NPDES requirements. I've listed the waiver request for this project within your staff comments. They are identical to the previous plan. Since this is a revised plan, no further action is required on the waivers. The Dairy Township Planning Commission at their meeting on November 5th, 2019 made a recommendation to the supervisors that plat 1320 be approved. I'm recommending approval of plat 1320 conditioned upon the following items satisfactorily being addressed. That the following items be addressed by June 3rd, 2020. That the stormwater best management practices operation and maintenance agreement is revised to reflect the current recording references of the subject premises. That a copy of the NPDES approval for the major modification is provided. That the Dairy Township School District sign the certification of title on the plans. That three originals of the corrected, signed, and notarized stormwater best management practice operation maintenance agreement are provided, and that a digital copy of the plan is provided. And then finally, that the stormwater BMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the revised property deed referencing the latest stormwater best management practices is recorded concurrently with the plan.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Emmerich? Hearing none, I will make the motion that the revised preliminary land development plan for the Dairy Township Community Center plat 1320 is approved, subject to the compliance with items A through G under the Department and Recommendations section of this agenda. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries 4-1. Next item on the agenda, review and discussion of the bids for the Dairy Township Community Center project. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I turn it over to our project team to discuss the bids, the purpose of tonight's meeting is to evaluate the bids that have been received on November 22nd. And the township received bids for the following areas of this project. General construction, 5 bids. Mechanical construction, 4 bids, electrical construction, 4 bids, plumbing construction, 5 bids, and fire protection two bids. So tonight, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Kousis. He's going to go through this in a lot more detail than I am. I just wanted to give you the quick overview of the number of bids that were received. He's going to get into more of the finer points as it relates to cost and the project as a whole. So,
thank you, Greg Kousis, Capital Construction Management. I'd like to have John Trump join me at the microphone as we talk through the bid submission. There's two things that we really want to talk about. One is the base bid results that came in for the project, and then there's a number of alternates that need to get discussed, and ultimately if the board chooses to take action tonight, then those alternates will need to be decided as part of the action items for the project. So as an overview for the project, the bids were received on June the 22nd. As Mr. Christman had said, there was five prime contractors that submitted, that five different prime contracts that contractors submitted proposals for. The apparent low bidders in each of those five contracts are as follows. General Construction, Lovar Incorporated, with a base bid amount of $20,092,000. Mechanical Construction, the apparent low bidder is Hostler Corporation with a base bid of $2,543,000. For electrical construction, low bidder was Cedar Electric Incorporated with a base bid amount of $1,440,000. For plumbing construction, low bid was Vision Mechanical with a low bid amount of $1,293,000. And for fire protection construction, S.A. Communel was the low bid with a base bid of $249,660. So those five prime contracts at the low bid amounts add up to a total of $25,617,660. So, is there any questions relative to the base bid submittal?
You found these bids to be very tight, obviously, right? And you're pleased with the number of bidders and how close they all were.
I think there was good participation from the contracting community on this bid, yes. There are good numbers in terms of the number of contractors that responded, and I think also relatively good representation in terms of how close some of those bids were. So, yes,
thank you.
I think the township should be pleased with the results of the bidding process.
And Greg, in terms of general contractors, what was the price differential between the low bid and the next lowest bid?
The second bidder in the general construction was ECI Construction with a base bid amount of $20,179,653. So that's roughly $87,000.
$87,000.
Yeah. And between five different bidders, less than a 10% spread between the top and the bottom of all five of those, I think represents pretty good competitive bidding.
Greg, I have a question just to jump ahead a little bit to the alternates in the contract, just so that people understand why things were put out to bid as alternates. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it all went into the bid and then we decided we didn't want to do something, we'd be looking at change orders and fees to deduct something versus having the ability to add things in at this juncture. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the process of going through and identifying alternates as part of the regular bidding process is done quite often, and that's to give the owner some flexibility in terms of what they want to accept and include into the project. It also gives the owner some visibility in terms of what components cost. So obviously with a base bid amount, it's a lump sum for everything that's on the plans. You don't really understand what the component parts of that base bid are. So by identifying some alternates, it gives the board the flexibility to understand what the component parts are, how much they cost, and whether or not the owner wants to include them in the project. So that is often a strategy employed, both for add alternates and deduct alternates. On this project, there are more add alternates than deduct alternates that were part of the bidding process.
And Greg, are you going to speak to the contingency allotments?
Certainly, we can as part of the overall discussion. So if there's no other questions on the overall base bid amounts and the contract participation, I want to turn it over to John to let him lead the discussion through the alternates and describing those for the board and for the public.
Thank you. If you can keep that up, I think the alternates were actually listed at the bottom.
They are, they're detailed. You'd like the summary?
Yeah, I think the summary would be easier because I'll just I'll walk through these handful of alternates. One of the other things that we do when we look for alternates, we generally prefer to do the add alternates. We look for stuff that that the owner can add in easily in the future. So it's not something like, you know, changing a mechanical system that may once be installed and have to rip it back out. So we look for things that are easy to add back in the future. So that's essentially what we did here with a lot of these add alternates. Add alternate G1 is for splash pad. This would be generally for the youngest members of the community. Most people probably have seen or participated in these structures in the past. It's kind of the elements that spill water, and jets of water might squirt up out of the ground. Like I said, mostly primarily for the youngest members of the community center to enjoy the water. G2 is for an exterior slide. This is very similar to the slide that currently exists at the facility. We did investigate at the time possibly refurbishing and repurposing that slide for this project, but that actually became more costly than doing new, so that's why that's in here as well. Shade structures are also part of the exterior pool construction, and it could be. This price is for two exterior shade structures. They're approximately 15 feet deep and about 50 foot long each. They're located adjacent to the exterior pool and the splash pad to provide additional shade since we don't have a whole lot out there by the pool. So I think they're in a good spot. High school walking path, which was in the library parking, G4 and G5, were touched upon briefly by Mr. Emmerich. They are connections at the north and east of the site that will tie the community center to the existing schools. Go ahead.
Yeah, for just a second, just by way of clarification, there are two connections to the school district property. One that runs to the north, to the ECC. That is a requirement to access the offsite parking that Mr. Emmerich mentioned earlier. The second connection is a walking path between the high school parking lot and the east side of the community center parking lot. That's what this alternate represents. It's one of the two, it's not both.
That's right. And the library parking was also referenced, and you don't happen to know how many spots that was off the top of your head.
It was for handicapped parking located closer to the entrance was the purpose.
That's for additional work at the, a little bit off our site at the library.
Let me say it's 15 spaces.
Exactly. The lower right hand side, there's left side of the building.
Yeah, so those spots there along the existing library. What's in that add alternate G5? G6 is for a floor finish upgrade to generally the interior wet areas, I'll call them. The indoor competition pool, leisure pool, the bathrooms and locker rooms, and some corridor space. The base bid for the project was for a sealed concrete, and this is an upgrade to have more of an epoxy-type floor. It's not epoxy, it's a breathable acrylic, so water doesn't get trapped underneath. We flushed this upgrade out with our representatives from Sherwin-Williams, and this is actually under what they were estimating, so I think this is a good value add for the project, $24,000. Item G7 is for phasing in the outdoor pool. As most people are probably aware, this construction project is timed out to, from start to finish, to be 22 months, which will take us into the fall of 2021. As an option to have the exterior pool ready for the summer of 2021, we asked the contractors to provide some costs to phase the project, to actually have the exterior pool and the interior bathrooms and a lot of the site work parking ready for use that summer. And so the additional cost of $19,000 is to have those areas of the project completed and ready for public use, you know, prior to the rest of the building being open. Also think that's a pretty good value. Items E1, 2, 3, and 5 are all electrical related items. The E1 was a cabling change for the fire alarm system in the building, to go from fire alarm cable being in conduit to taking a credit for running it in plenum rated cable. At the savings of $3,000, the engineer did not feel that was worth it, so it's recommending that we stay with the conduit for the fire alarm cable. The aluminum conductors, this was recommended by the electrical engineer that we take this. This is basically a lot of the primary service to the building, from the transformer, and a lot of the main electrical panels can be done in aluminum wire, rather than copper, at a savings of $25,000. So that was also recommended by the engineer. Item E3 is for a lightning protection package on the project. This add is about $50,000. Currently, the building does not have a specified lightning protection system. If you were to add this system, it essentially involves what most people would think of as a lightning protection system, where you see the spikes sort of on the roof. All those spikes are in copper cable attached to the building structure and then grounded to the site. Totally an option for the board to consider if there's lightning strikes in the area. As sort of a history, you may consider it. Do not believe it's required as part of your insurance carrier or anything like that, so totally an option for the board as well. And the last item is E5 for a fire alarm voice system. Our engineer has recommended deferring this additional cost at this point as we work through some of the requirements with the code official. We may be able to stay with what is designed. The code official may require us to upgrade, and the upgrade is the $8,000. So at least if we do have to upgrade, we'll know what we have to pay for it. And I believe all those add alternates to the building were roughly $900,000.
All the alternates added up together, nine add alternates and two deduct alternates, were just shy of $900,000 total.
Yes. Is there any specific questions on any of those that I can answer? Try to hit them all.
John, a quick question. When I saw the bids and I saw the $341,000 for the splash pad, I kind of choked on that. What can you describe the splash pad to these folks?
I can do my best on that. Obviously, we hired a consultant for the aquatics package, but there is a lot of work. I mean, what you see, and like what most people might be familiar with, that sort of rubbery splash pad with, there might be mushrooms and buckets and different elements that are having water come out and water, you know, squirting out of the ground. That's the part that you see. There's a lot of pumps and piping and water management, cleaning, and things of that go into that than you would have with any normal swimming pool, obviously. So while it doesn't look sort of like a lot on the surface, on the ground, there is a lot that goes into making it operate.
I think what people have, what people might have in mind is the one that's there now, that little round saucer shaped.
Yeah, it is circular.
That's what I had in mind,
but
too.
It's much larger than that, yeah. And I think actually maybe some of the renderings around the hall actually may show a portion of that. but it is quite large, and that's, I agree with you, it's a big number.
Yeah.
But there is a lot that goes into it that is not seen.
Thank you.
And Rick, if I can just add, just looking back at the bid results, the contractors that priced, the five contractors were pretty consistent in terms of their pricing. $341,000, $365,000, $339,000, $343,000, and one outlier, $428,000. But they were all pretty consistent in terms of what they thought that element cost.
Well, I think we all commented on that one, that when the alternates popped up, and that one did. Go kind of choked a little bit on that.
A quick question. G7 is the phased outdoor pool opening, which would be hopefully for a summer opening. Is that different than alternate E4, which I don't see up there, but it's in really little print in our comments?
So,
I just want to try to understand if there's a difference.
G7, Susan, is actually a combination of the pricing submitted from all five of the contractors for that phased option. So the same question was asked of all five prime contractors. Two of them submitted that there was no cost associated with doing that. Mm-hmm. Three of them submitted an additional cost, and that $19,150 is the sum total of those three prime contracting costs.
Okay, so these are the ones that we're addressing this evening then?
Correct.
And with the deferral on the fire alarm, if for whatever reason the board decided to do that later, that would just be a change order, is that correct?
Correct.
And for people who weren't here last week, instead of it just being a loud alarm, it would actually have the verbal commands that would tell you to get out of the building. So that's essentially what that is, correct?
E2, is that a relatively common practice to use aluminum conductors for services?
It can be. The way that the bid is, or the ad alternate is requested, there are obviously different electrical carrying capabilities between aluminum and copper, and they'll be upsized accordingly. But obviously, the price of copper is much more expensive than the price of aluminum, and it is allowed by the National Electric Code.
To Matt's point, would that be something that would almost be sort of a penny wise and pound foolish at this point in terms of using the aluminum as opposed to copper, and with the expectation, the possibility or expectation that we find out that voltage loads need to be or can result in upgrading those to copper later? In other words, it's a $25,000 savings later, but is it a wise savings?
Mark, I think the electrical engineer is really the expert that we asked to not only develop that alternate to begin with, and the specification was to replace the copper conductor with an aluminum conductor of the same carrying capacity. So okay. I don't think there's an issue of needing to change them out later. There's different opinions in terms of the preference for aluminum versus copper. The engineer felt like it was a worthwhile credit, and that's what we can provide for the board.
One other question about lightning protection. Since it's an all-metal grounded building, doesn't it have built-in lightning protection automatically just by the structure? I'm talking about E5 now.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. To some extent, yes. And certainly all the pools are bonded and grounded as a matter of construction, because obviously they're large bodies of water. But the building itself, while it will have some capabilities for lightning protection, you know, this is a system specifically designed to take that lightning strike and conduct it safely to the ground.
Matt, do you want to just pass on personal experience on what's happened on the site previously?
Sure. And as we were discussing the alternates, we did talk a little bit about the lightning protection system. And the question was asked if we, in the past, have ever experienced any types of lightning strikes. And we certainly have. I think the large dome is certainly an attractive, and we definitely took on some damage to pumps and some other circuits and things from lightning. So I kind of leaned back on the professionals in terms of a recommendation, whether they thought that was a good idea. I think to some extent ground fault protection is part of the building, but with the extra protection there, particularly with the pool systems and everything, it may be something to consider.
I have a question not related to the alternates, but related to the scope of the project, and that's regarding the foundations. If the board would decide at a future date to go with a different foundation, to put in micropiles instead of the aggregate piers, how would we do that, and what might we be looking at an additional cost? As we're taking these things into consideration, I think it's important to know, if the board decided to do that, how might that work? How might it delay the project, and what the impact on the overall budget might be?
I did reach out to our structural engineer in anticipation of that question. They've come back to me and said that for an additional $15,000, they could completely design and document, detail and specify a micropile foundation system. And they asked that with the holidays coming up and everything, that they could probably, if given direction in the next week or two, have that available to the selected contractor by about middle to end of January. At that point, we could let the selected general contractor take a look at those documents and provide a price on that system. And if the board so chose, depending on what that price would come back, elect to change out our foundation system with that change order.
Without a change order, you said?
With that change order. It would be required to have a change order, yes.
So that $15,000 would be to generate design drawings?
That's correct.
Did you have anything you want to add to that? I switched on the spot, sorry.
Well, no, just that the two systems were bid in the spring, and we understood that the delta between the two prices, the two systems, was about $500,000 at that point in time. I guess the only other thing that I would point out is, because of the way this bid was put together, there is a very specific number that's already assigned to the foundation systems. The township understands what that is. It's well-defined, so the contractor would need to get pricing from the subcontractors that perform micropile work, put together the pricing. It would be easy to do a comparison and really understand what the delta is between the two, because we have the information, aggregate piers with the rigid inclusions, and that was bid with the project. Do a very quantitative analysis between the two.
And I'm not suggesting we do that. I just thought it'd be good to ask the question in the event that we determine that that's something we want to entertain, just to make sure we knew how that might happen. So, thank you. Anyone else have any questions about alternates or about bids?
Contingency fee is $1,280,883.
I think our recommendation was to carry a 5% contingency.
Okay.
So whatever that ends up being, based upon the total amount of the contracts that the board might decide to approve, that would be a reasonable place for the township to look at carrying a contingency amount.
Right. And the soft costs incurred or to be incurred, the aggregate amount is $4,350,000?
That is what we are projecting, and that includes all of the costs expended to date, plus all of the expected soft costs through the opening of the project, including purchasing equipment, furniture, fixtures, security systems. Yes.
Okay. So my math is bad, Craig, so correct me if I'm wrong, but if we incorporate the multi-pass system at $500,000.
So micro-pass.
What did I say? Micro-pass system at $500,000, and all the alternates and soft costs and contingencies, we're looking at $32,646,693.
One more time.
I told you I'm not good. $32,646,693.
If it was $32,000, I think we'd all jump at that.
So. Yeah, it's $32 million, yeah. All in.
With all of the alternates?
All the alternates and the $500,000.
Approximately, yes.
Approximately $32,650,000. Okay.
The library parking and the walking path, how critical is that to the success of the project, and could that be something done at a later date? I think, John, you had mentioned maybe the library parking was related to handicap parking. Maybe you had mentioned that.
Yeah. So. I guess to answer your first question, too, that they're not required for the community center to operate as a facility. The walking path connection is clearly something that's meant to facilitate just pedestrian traffic between the Cary Township School District property and the community center property. There's through the course of the design and observations and discussions with the town, with the school district, as well as with Mr. Mandia and his staff, it's clear that there's already a lot of kids that choose to access the community center via roughly that route, and they're just jumping the stream now, or going through the stream bed. So, but is it required? No. Again, with the parking in front of the library, I think the goal there was to address some less than ideal situations in terms of location of handicapped parking where it currently resides, or where it currently sits on the site, and also just to make the front entrance to the library more accessible to more people. Currently, there's a few parallel parking spaces right there in front of the in front of the library that are limited to like 5-minute parking or something like that. I think drop off, pick up essentially. But again, not a requirement for the community center to operate. Craig, anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you covered it.
Any questions? Okay, so the next steps I think are going to be a little laborious, so I'm going to ask for everybody's indulgence as well as our consultants to try to guide me through here. And then Chris, correct me if I'm wrong as we're going through, but in order to make motions on bids, we need to take each one of them separately, correct?
Yes.
And then when we have the alternates, we need to vote on those each separately as well.
Yes.
And do the alternates follow the same language in terms of legal review, bond, and insurance as the regular bids, or is that just a matter of the board approves or does not approve item?
Yes, the latter. Okay. The latter.
That's what I thought. But I thought before we got into this, I just kind of get clear. Okay. So if nobody has any other questions, then I think what we'll do is I'll ask to have a motion to award Lowbar Inc. as the lowest responsible qualified bidder
for general construction services in an amount of $20,092. It is catching. $20,092. My apologies. $20,092,000. Let's start again. A motion to award Lowbar Inc. as the lowest responsible qualified bidder for general construction for $20,092,000. Additionally, we're looking for a motion that the township manager is authorized to execute any and all documents related to the project following legal review of bonds and insurance requirements of the bid. That's just the first of many. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
That motion carries 4-1. The next item to vote on is to award mechanical construction. Do I have a motion to award Hostler Corporation as the lowest responsible qualified bidder for mechanical construction in an amount of $2,543,000? Additionally, do I have a motion that the township manager is authorized to execute any and all documents related to this project following legal review of bonds and insurance requirements of the bid? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion also carries 4-1. Next item on the agenda, do I have a motion to award Cedar Electric Inc. as the lowest responsible qualified bidder for electrical construction services in an amount of $1,440,000. Additionally, do I have a motion that the township manager is authorized to execute any and all documents related to this project following legal review of bonds and insurance requirements of the bid? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir. Do I have a second? I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion also carries 4-1. Next item. Do I have a motion to award the plumbing construction to the lowest responsible bidder for Vision Mechanical of $1,293,000, and that we authorize the township manager to execute any and all documents related to this project following legal review of bonds and insurance requirements of the bid? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries as well, 4-1. The last item in this section, do I have a motion to award SA Communal as the lowest responsible qualified bidder for fire protection construction for $249,660, and to instruct the township manager to execute any and all documents related to this project following legal review of bonds and insurance requirements of the bid? I'll make that motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries. Okay. Now we move on to the alternates. And I think I will just read this off the screen because I think this is probably like a 4-point font on here. So I was having a hard time reading the 10-point font, so I'm going to go off the screen. And if the board wishes to discuss any of these before we actually take the vote, that would be fine because we've not had a chance to discuss these in public. First addition, the alternate is for G1, the splash pad, at a total of $341,000. Is there any discussion regarding adding the alternate of the splash pad?
I like these alternates, just not for this project.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any comments regarding the first item, the first alternate?
I just bring up Matt, I think that that's something that Parks and Rec, through the whole design process that you guys talked a lot about. And I think you give a lot of thought to age groups, who will use it, how it works, because it's a big number. But how, so I really feel like you've given that a lot of thought. Do you want to weigh in at all on that?
Yeah, and like I think everyone, when we saw that number, we were taken back a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But as we've kind of looked at the whole outdoor community pool facility, and really trying to make that a priority and having a full range of opportunities for all age groups, it was something that we as a department felt pretty strongly about. Obviously, it's going to be a tough decision for the board because of the dollars, but I think it's a feature that would get a lot of use by families across the age spectrum. So.
Yeah, I like its location and the way that it sort of starts from an, it's almost an age progression where you have the splash pad into the zero entry, and it sort of, there's an age progression through the whole.
There is, and it also, its positioning also ties in the indoor leisure well as well, the indoor leisure pool and that connection during the summertime for the connectivity between those two bodies too, so it's,
right.
It is a good location.
That's a fun factor to the outside.
Well, that was one of the things in the business plan. They always emphasize the fun factor for this. This adds all that back in.
Any more conversation regarding this alternate? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve the addition of G1, the splash pad, at $341,000. Do I have a second?
I'll set it.
Seconded by Mr. Weir, I think. All those in favor? All opposed?
Nay.
Next item on the list of alternates, G2 exterior slide for $206,000. Any questions for any of our consultants or discussion regarding the outdoor slide?
On a more positive note, Matt, I think that came in lower than we thought.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
What did we have budgeted for that?
We had asked for pricing on that the last time that this was bid in the spring, it was closer to $300,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And certainly that the exterior slide that we have been using for years has been well used by kids and adults, board members alike. So, any other conversation about the exterior slide? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to add alternate G2 exterior slide for $206,000. Do I have a second?
Seconded
by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
Next item, G3 shade structures for $143,000. Any questions for the consultants about the shade structures? Any discussion at all? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to add G3 shade structures at $143,000. Do I have a second?
Seconded
by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
Next item, G4, a high school walking path at $77,000. Discussion about this? I mean, I think it's a great idea. I certainly don't want to not have it, but I wonder if it's something that we could defer.
Yeah, like it's since the very beginning of the project, we talked about the importance of this site and it being located on the campus of our schools. And so we always said, let's look at this site as if it's common ownership. And what would you do if there was one owner for the whole land? They would make sure that it's connected. And so I think to build a facility like this and not have proper connections, I think would be very short. So I'm very much in favor of this connection. Also, I've witnessed firsthand, as Matt sees every day, I'm sure, that the students, that's where they walk. They walk through the street or the stream bed there. So
it's more of a necessary thing.
I think this is a good one, personally. Yeah.
I agree with you, Justin. All the focus we put on trails and walking and bike pedestrian, this is worthwhile.
Well, a number of the folks I've talked to too wanted this. They saw it on the original drawings and they had heard that it was taken off. On the second go around, I said, no, we're looking at it as an added.
It does help build the connectivity between schools and the community center, which is going to be even more important when that teen center is open and kids are going there after school. If there's no more discussion on that, do I have a motion to add G4 high school walking path for $77,000?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zimuda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed?
Yeah.
Next item, G5 library parking, $58,000. Any questions for the consultants or conversation about this? I think this sort of falls under the same.
It does. I mean, I'm not very close to the library, so I'd be curious to hear how this, you're closer to it, how this sort of works together with the new park and the new entrance. And
well, yeah, I mean, excuse me, I think the new entrance will put some of our handicapped patrons closer to the building, but right now, as the building stands, most of the handicapped spaces are to the south and easily 100 yards away from the front door. So the idea was this would be an opportunity to free up some spaces where they're only about 10 to 20 feet from the front door.
Right.
That makes sense, Jeff.
Yeah, the library has always seemed, the way that the parking is laid out, has always seemed a little bit harder to access than it really needs to be.
Chuck, could you please do me a favor and put that list back up there for me?
Yep.
Do I have a motion to add G5 library parking at $58,000?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Yeah.
I almost forgot to ask you that. Next item on the agenda, G6 floor finish upgrade for $24,000. Questions for the consultants?
I think that one's well worth it. We've had problems with floor delamination and other facilities. That would be a bad one to skip like that.
John, you felt that a good
one? I think that's good. That's a good number. Yeah. The risk with the sealed concrete, while it's a very inexpensive to finish to leave on the floor, and the concrete's going to be there for a year and a half, taking the abuse of construction, and there's just so much you can do to sort of clean it and get it ready for sealing. So you run the risk of marks and things of that nature. This will be able to sort of cover everything up and look fresh and new.
Okay. So
I think it's a good number.
This is going to add to the traction for the patrons too?
Yes, absolutely.
No other questions? Do I have a motion then to add G6 floor finish upgrade for $24,000?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
And that also carries 4-1. G7 phased outdoor pool opening. And again, this would be to open the outdoor pool in advance of the rest of the center opening in the fall so that we can get our community back in the water and together earlier. That's for $19,150. Any questions or discussion related to this?
I think according to our business plan, it was decided that schedule-wise, having this pool open for membership in the spring is a huge advantage. And having the whole facility opened in October is another big time to sell memberships. So I think that this is well worth it. It will get our people into the swimming pool sooner and keep us on schedule. So I think, again, a good phased opening is important.
What kind of assurances are built into it? Any? That it occur? In other words, what kind of assurances are built into it? I mean, with a typical contract, you'd have liquidated damages if something's not complete. Would you have something similar to this?
The specifications specifically call for a date for this to be ready, associated with the liquidated damages.
Okay.
I don't recall the date specifically, but probably something early to mid-May of that year, so you have a few weeks to get prepared for an opening, with the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So, and there are liquidated damages associated with that date, so there is a little bit of a stay.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be some logistical challenges. getting lifeguards ready.
And just a couple.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We'll get it done.
Yeah. Any other questions related to that? If not, do I have a motion to add G7 phase outdoor pool for $19,150?
So
moved by Mr. Weir. Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Nay.
Next, that motion carries 4-1. Next item on the agenda, E1, cabling. And this is something that you are, again, not recommending is necessary. So, Mr. Christman, in this instance, do we still need to vote on this because it is inaccurate, or do we only need to vote on it?
Just for clarity of the record, I would vote on it.
All right.
That it's being rejected.
Right. So I'll make a motion that we reject E1 cabling for $3,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
And no one's opposed. So that motion carries. E2, aluminum conductors. And conversation about this? Questions for John or Greg?
I think all of us have aluminum conductors bringing the electricity into our house. It's pretty common, and it's handled with dielectrics very well. I see no problem with taking this $25,000.
As a deduct?
As a deduct, yes.
Then do I have a motion to add E2 aluminum conductors at a reduction of $25,000?
So
moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Yeah.
Next item, E3 lightning protection at an add of $50,000. Do you feel comfortable with the building as it is, that this is not necessary, or this is really just a
decision? This is a tough one.
Okay.
I feel that the number is good, having recently done one in Hampton Township over in Mechanicsburg. Based on the size of the building, I think it's a very good price. But again, it's optional, it's not required by code. It's a little, belt and suspenders for the township. If you do have a lightning strike, obviously you can risk, as Matt referenced earlier, perhaps frying some pumps and everything, and there's associated costs, obviously, with replacing those. Circuits are better protected, so you might not be burning out computers and things of that nature. But this is a tough one.
I will add that this is something that can be added to the facility later, at a later date. It's often done on buildings where a lightning protection system will come in and be sold by a lightning protection contractor post-construction. Not as clean as doing it during the construction process, but you would have the potential to wait and see whether or not you had an issue and address it if you did. Of course, you've already had one strike at that point. If you were to wait and then make the decision based on that. It's a little, I know Matt has suggested that there's lightning strikes that have happened there in the past. It's a little hard to know exactly how that existing building is constructed and grounded and whether or not that was adding to the potential for getting lightning strikes there. And as John had mentioned, the new building will obviously have some level of grounding that's built into it. There may not be protection in and of itself. That's a very long-winded way to say we don't have a recommendation for it.
Yeah.
So if that was something that was added on later, would that be post-construction conceivably that it would be added on, or would it have to be in the course of construction through a change order?
It could be added post-construction, township, so it shows.
Or during, it could be added during construction.
It could be, but I'm not sure there's an advantage to, if there's an intention to include it, you should probably included as part of this process that the contractors can plan for is there.
Everything's cleared, put in during construction. After construction, the cost may be higher or different, and there's finding monies for it, which we're going to have to do.
During construction as well, we're obviously able to better kind of seal the conductors.
Right.
Coming down the side of the building.
Like my house, we have copper wire coming down.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this? If not, do I have a motion to add E3 lightning protection at $50,000?
Can I just ask, we don't have a recommendation here. We haven't lived it. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I agree with what Greg just said. I don't know how much that dome has contributed to the past lightning strikes. I can't imagine it hasn't had some impact on that. I know in the past when we've had lightning strikes, particularly at night or early morning on a weekend when staff isn't there and the systems go down, we're not filtering our pools and we end up getting there and our chlorine levels are below what we're allowed to open to the public for, where we have to delay opening. So it does produce some operational issues when we have those types of lightning strikes. But once again, it's a 1963 building with a huge metal dome. I'm assuming the 2020 construction will be a lot more efficient in terms of being able to handle those types of things. So I really don't have a recommendation either, so unfortunately, but just kind of our track record.
This is a huge surge protector. That's all it is.
Pretty much, yeah. And since you brought up the metal dome, I will remind the board that all the peaked roofs on the new project are standing seam metal roof. So it's not like we're giving up our
good point.
All right, back to the question then. Do I have a motion to add E3 lightning protection at $50,000?
Second.
Oh, no, you're going to make the motion. Moved by Mr. Zamuda. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Yeah.
That motion carries 4-1. Last item on the alternates is E5 fire alarm voice. I'll make a motion that we defer this decision until a later time. Second.
Let me ask, is there any advantage to adding this during construction? Any at all?
We will have to make a decision during construction.
Okay.
It's our intent to work with the code officials to find out exactly what's required by code. We have a differing of opinion between the code official and the engineer. So what we essentially decided to do during the time of bid was leave the system that was installed and ask for this add alternate so we knew what we would pay for it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a determination in the upcoming weeks. We can get with the code official and discuss this and get to a decision. So it'll be in, we'll have that information shortly.
I think we still haven't really determined whether it's necessary, so there should be some more.
That's why we're
voice versus fire alarm.
Right, right. So I'll make a motion again to defer this decision. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Weir. Sorry, I'm confusing everyone. All those in favor of deferring E5, say aye.
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 And item is deferred. I think that brings us to the end of the alternates, as well as the general contract item is. Thank you for helping us through this evening. Anything that anybody wants to add? It's a really, really important decision, and I know it's very quiet right now, but I want you all to know this is something that the this board has worked incredibly hard on for 4, 5, 6 years, even longer for many people. And I think I can speak for this board that we all love this community, and if we didn't, we wouldn't have run for supervisor. And we believe wholeheartedly in this project, that this community center will be a unifier. It will be a place where people of all ages will want to go to recreate, to socialize, to meet. And we believe very strongly in this project as it exists today. And we appreciate your patience, we appreciate your comments, and we are very much looking forward to moving forward with this project as a ward this evening. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, if anyone has anything else to add at this point, is item D, 1 through 134, adoption of resolution number 1599, amending Derry Township's 2015 comprehensive plan as necessary for consistency with the township's proposed new ordinance. Mr. Emmerich.
You'll be happy to hear. I do not have a PowerPoint tonight. That was for the hearing on November 26th. Also, this comprehensive plan was posted on the township website on October 11th. It was reviewed by the County Planning Commission on November 4th and recommended for adoption. It was reviewed by the Township Planning Commission on November 5th and recommended for adoption. As I stated, this board had a public hearing on the comprehensive plan on November 26th, and tonight we are looking for adoption. This adoption, this plan, will aid the next item, the zoning ordinance, in being in compliance with the comprehensive plan.
Any questions from Mr. Emmerich on this? Chuck, if you wouldn't mind, I'll put you on the spot for a moment. If you could just, for those people who weren't here last Tuesday, just kind of review for us the process of how this all moved forward, just so everyone understands how this was made available to the public and what the steps were that were taken to bring us to this evening.
Sure, and that's what I was attempting to do in some way or another. The comprehensive plan did start with the UDA study, evaluation, two public meetings that were both at the Hershey Stories. And, you know, after those meetings and after the compilation of their work, then we had a committee of staff members and supervisors that helped guide both the comprehensive plan and the zoning ordinance into what we feel is the best result for the township. But again, both, and I'm going to speak to both of them, the zoning ordinance is the next item. Both of them were posted on the website on October 11th and delivered to the school district, the adjacent municipalities, to the county planning, to our township planning commission. All meeting, you know, the obligations by law for public notice. And again, you know, they were in front of the County Planning Commission on November 4th, Township Planning Commission on November 5th, and our public hearing here last week.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Chuck on this agenda item?
Chuck, I'm reminded you said that I have the privilege of voting for two zoning ordinances, two comprehensive plans of the term. And just to clarify, there are no substantive changes to the zoning ordinance.
Substantive. You know, if I'm going to go ahead and speak to the zoning ordinance again.
Yeah.
Within the zoning ordinance, we have adjusted a few zoning districts along the edges of the downtown core, you know, most notably along Governor Road and a little bit in Palmdale. The most substantial change to the ordinance, though, was breaking the downtown into three districts, which were recommended in the comprehensive plan. And those three districts helped to soften the intensity of uses as they move from the Chocolate Avenue corridor into the more residential village. So I guess I just have, I'm struggling with the word substantive changes.
I would say they're very substantive.
I do consider those substantive changes, and for the better.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you.
Any other comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion that resolution number 1599 is hereby adopted, implementing the amendment to the 2015 comprehensive plan?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weir. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, adoption of ordinance number 720, adopting the new zoning ordinance. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So here again, the supervisors authorized UDA back on May 14th to start this process of evaluating the zoning ordinance, which led to a comprehensive plan adjustment and led to the zoning ordinance that we just had a public hearing on November 26th. During the course of that hearing, I did my very best to painfully show the board and the public every change that was made within the ordinance as it, or at least as it differs from the 2017 ordinance. So this evening, and again, this was at the same, you know, November 4th County Planning Commission meeting, November 5th Township Planning Commission, both recommending adoption. I'm also recommending adoption of Ordinance 720.
Any questions for Mr. Emmerich? Any discussion among board members? Hearing none, sorry.
I'd be remiss not to say great job to the team involved. I mean, I think it's been a very thoughtful process. I thought we got great advice from Urban Design Associates. I thought it was very collaborative to have the Downtown Hershey Association contributing $33,000 to the process, and we achieved a lot from it. You know, in this planning process, we are a growing community. We have successful entities, and this town is going to grow. And we can either plan for it or ignore it and let it happen in a way that we don't want it to. So planning is important, and this was a very good planning effort. So thanks to everyone involved.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Do I have a motion that ordinance number 720, which adopts the new zoning ordinance, is hereby adopted?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zamuda. I'll second that. Do I have all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? That motion carries. Next item on the agenda, F1-3, authorization to place an ad for public notice of adoption ordinance number 720, adopted in the new zoning ordinance.
So as we did in 2017 when we adopted the last zoning ordinance, Section 108 of the Municipality's Planning Code enables a municipality to put a public notice out that they've adopted a new ordinance. That public notice is to include the ordinance number, a brief statement of the general content of the ordinance, the address of the municipality where the full text of the ordinance is available for public review, and a statement that the publication is intended to provide notification of the ordinance adoption. Bless you. And that any person claiming a right to challenge the validity of the ordinance must bring legal action within 30 days of the publication of the second notice. This notice must be published twice in consecutive weeks in a paper of local circulation. The approval to place this notice will ensure that any future action contesting the validity of the zoning ordinance based on a procedural defect in the process of enactment of the or substantive defect shall be dismissed with prejudice as untimely if not filed within 30 days following the second publication of the notice. So what this notice does is it really avoids conflict with the ordinance at a later date when things are moving in a different direction. Cornwall Borough, for instance, had that happen when they were going to Walmart. Their ordinance was upturned, and I think when that happens, all of your land is zoned agriculture. So we'd like to avoid that to happen, or at least if somebody does want to challenge this ordinance, to give them a term, a time, and put it forth. So that's what this ad would do. I'm estimating that the cost of the advertising of the public notice will be $150. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the placement of the public notice.
Questions? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that the public notice be placed in a newspaper of general circulation for two successive weeks. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. And I should have mentioned this before, but certainly our consultants who were here this evening for the community center agenda items, if you would need to leave at this point, you're more than welcome to. You're also welcome to stay, but I understand some of you have come from a distance, so please feel free to excuse yourselves if you would like. If you'd like to stay around for the rest of it, you're welcome to do that as well. So thank you for coming this evening. The next item on our agenda, G1 through 15, amendment to the October 22nd, 2019 agenda item regarding a request for extension of timeframes in which to address conditions of this decision rendered by the Board of Supervisors for conditional use application number 2017-04 is filed by CNS Cray Real Estate LLC and Sheets Inc. for a major fuel service establishment and a large-scale retail establishment at the crossing. Mr. Emmerich, why is this on the agenda?
So on January 23, 2018, the board did approve conditional uses for a fuel station and for large-scale retail. Those approvals are coming to their term. And the applicant did request recently a one-year extension time frame to Condition J in the conditional use decision. Unfortunately, Condition J only addressed the fuel pumps and not the large-scale retail. They missed it in their review, we missed it in our review. So this agenda item is really to catch that we not only need to update item J, but also condition H for the large scale retail. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors grant the requested extension for both condition H under the large scale retail section and condition J under the major fuel service section of the January 23rd, 2018 decision. And revises the wording of said conditions H and J for the attached red line copy of the decision.
Do I have a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich? Moved by Mr. Moyer. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Excuse me. Next item on the agenda, H 1 through 27, time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary land, final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1.
So this is a rather old plan that we've been keeping active at the request of the applicant. What this plan did was proposed parking to support Chocolate World. And this was on the old Creamery track is what it was called. It was the truck track kind of behind Park Boulevard. And just for reference sake, Park Boulevard did go through this land development plan. However, it doesn't really affect it, what was proposed. So this plan was originally approved by the board October 27, 2008. It's gone through multiple extensions. We recently contacted the applicant and they would like to keep it on hold for another year. I'm recommending that the board extend approval of Plat 1154 for an additional 12 months, conditioned upon the following things happening by January 2nd, 2021. That the performance security is provided in an amount equal to the original approved amount plus 10%, because this plan's so old, you will not have heard this language before. Plus 10% for each 1 year period beyond the first anniversary date establishing the amount not to exceed 110%, or that a new amount be established in accordance with the requirements of the subdivision and land development ordinance. That was for the securities. That the comments in HRG's March 30th, 2009 letter regarding the stormwater PMPs be addressed. That the applicant applies for and receives a new NPDES permit. That the applicant applies for and receives a new water obstruction and encroachment permit, that the applicant ensures the renewal of all other expired approvals and permits originally required for the project, and that the applicant obtain any other regulatory approvals or permits now required for the project, and finally, that the stormwater BMP operation and maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan. So with those conditions, I'm recommending granting the year extension.
Questions? Mr. Emmerich? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1, Plan 1154, is extended for an additional 12 months, counted from January 2, 2020, subject to compliance with items A through G under the Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item. Do I have a second? Seconded by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final land development and stormwater site management plan for Oak Springs Phase 3 building expansion, Plat 1227. Mr. Emery.
This plan was also submitted in 2013, so it's an older plan. Was submitted under the 1993 zoning ordinance. Subject property is about 2.71 acres. The plan proposes the addition of 6 townhomes and the extension of a driveway. The plan was originally approved by the Board of Supervisors on June 11th, 2013. The Board of Supervisors last granted an extension. It was a 3-year extension, December 20th, 2016. The extended plan will expire on January 2nd, 2020. We've contacted the applicant and learned that they are still interested in pursuing the proposal. However, they're not prepared to post bond and to complete the recording. They are requesting another 3-year extension in time in which to address the conditions. The extension request proposes no changes in the details of the previously approved plan. I'm recommending that the board extend the approval of Plat 1227 for an additional 3 years, subject to the following things happening by January 2nd, 2023. That the performance security is provided in an amount equal to the original amount plus 10% for each 1-year period beyond the first anniversary date, establishing the amount not to exceed 110%, or a new amount is established in accordance with the subdivision and land development ordinance to guarantee the completion of the required improvements. That the comments in the May 30th, 2013 HRG letter are satisfactorily addressed. That the applicant drafts a common lateral agreement for the 6 new units for approval by DTMA, that the applicant ensures that the renewal of any expired approvals from the Dauphin County Conservation District, DEP or otherwise, or permits originally required for the project are regained, that 2 originals of the signed and notarized BMP operation and maintenance agreement are provided, and that the completed BMP inventory form is provided digitally, and finally that the stormwater BMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and the revised referencing the O&M agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan. It's not necessary to take any additional action on the waivers. So with those conditions, I'm recommending the grant of a 3-year extension.
Any questions for Mr. Emmer?
Chuck, would there have been any other different requirements if this was submitted under the new zoning?
This is such a tight development. As you can see, the lot already contains 2 6-unit townhomes. As I recall, this had an odd track record already. It was approved long ago and fell out of approval. The zoning had changed and townhomes weren't permitted there. This project went to the zoning hearing board, got permission to put townhomes back on the property, and that's the plan that is before you tonight. So I really didn't check it against today's zoning because the relief from the zoning board rides with the plan, as long as the plan's active.
Any other questions? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the preliminary final land development and stormwater site management plan for Oak Springs Phase 3 building expansion plat 1227 is extended for an additional 3 years, subject to compliance with items A through H under the Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, J1 through 20, time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Fox Glen Drive, Plat 1313. Mr. Emery.
Thank you. Plat 1313 presents the combination of 2 existing lots into a single lot that will be subdivided to create 6 new lots. One of the lots will contain an existing dwelling. Subject property is located along Fox Glen Road, east of Waltonville Road, west of Shankly Park, and south of Waltoncroft subdivision. The development is located in the R1 zoning district and contains 7.3534 acres. Board of Supervisors did approve this plan on June 11, 2019, with conditions. Those conditions are to be addressed no later than December 11, 2019. The applicant is asking for an extension to address those conditions. I'm recommending that the board extend the conditional approval of plat 1313 until December 11th, 2020, subject to the following things happening by November 17th, 2020, that the applicant reimburse the township for any due costs incurred in reviewing the plan, that the performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of the required improvements, and that the agreement to provide financial security is signed. That payment of the $6,943.35 fee in lieu of dedication of land for park and rec and open space is provided. That a letter from the Dauphin County Conservation District approving the erosion septic control plan is provided. That a copy of the NPDES permit is provided. That the owners of the Danello and Fox Glen Associates LP property signed the stormwater BMP signature block on sheet 6 of 13. That was 6 of 13. That three originals of the signed and notarized operation maintenance agreement for Fox Glen Drive Associates is provided, and that the complete BMP inventory file is provided via email, and that the following happened by December 11th, 2020, that the plan that a previous plan for this project, which had one fewer lot, plat 1268, is withdrawn concurrently with the recording of the new plan, that the stormwater BMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the storm sewer easement and deed of dedication is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the developer's agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan. It's not necessary for the supervisors to take any action on the waivers that were previously granted. And since Mr. Crawford did speak to this development a little bit, I'll go ahead and add in a little bit more. It's my understanding that they have brought fill onto the site, that they were approved as a disposal site for fill, knowing that, as you can see by the blue grading, that this project is going to take quite a bit of fill. Unfortunately, the contractor, owner, developer, take your pick, did not have any ENS measures in, and it created a mess in Mr. Crawford's neighborhood. Conservation District was called there. That's who does the enforcement for that type of thing. And hopefully you're... Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have ENS controls in now?
No.
No silt fence or anything?
No.
Okay. But again, that's all controlled by the Conservation District. Speaking to the stormwater that will ultimately come from this project, speaking for myself, and I think Matt Banana will nod his head, that the stormwater that will be installed if this project does come to fruition will actually cut off more stormwater from Mr. Crawford's development. It will, as you can see on the plan, the new road will create a series of inlets that will discharge to a stormwater basin, and that basin will discharge to a pipe that will actually circumvent the residential neighborhood and be discharged within Shanks Park at a point closer to the flow of more stormwater. So,
Chuck, what would the effect of denying this time extension? I'm sorry. What would the effect of denying this extension for conditional approval be?
So the applicant would need to come back through the works, starting with the Planning Commission and going on to the Board of Supervisors for reapproval of this plan. This present plan was done under the 2017 zoning ordinance. I can't think of anything in the ordinance adopted this evening that would have any real effect on the development proposed here.
Because, I mean, obviously we have a very compelling presentation from a resident here today, and I understand that ultimately when this project comes to fruition, theoretically the stormwater will be better abated for everyone's interest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
and that it appears to me that the current issue is the interim period and the runoff that's been created by that during the interim period. So I'm just thinking out loud here in terms of whether or not it would be more prudent for us to, and maybe it isn't, but to deny this extension, or is there a better alternative that can make sure that this is remediated,
yes,
and abated so that we don't have a repeat of what has transpired?
I don't disagree. How are they connected, though, Chuck? I mean, if you're learning about this tonight, obviously you...
No, I was aware of the situation before, but again, the Conservation District does all the enforcement when it comes to erosion and sediment control. So, although I do believe Mike Callahan may have been out to the site as part of, you know, Stormwater Authority. I don't know that the two are connected. The sooner they get to actually doing the development here, I think the better it will be for everybody.
Chuck, why were the ENS measures not?
I can't answer.
The developer here.
I didn't see anybody.
So why were the ENS measures not done? And if they weren't done, then why is the developer on the hook to clean up?
I believe that they should be.
Yeah.
And that would. I mean, I will check with the Conservation District tomorrow to see, and report back to the board. But I would imagine that there were fines assessed.
Yeah.
Although.
I mean, I think at the very least it makes sense to table.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Let's just table it to give you, before we, unless you truly believe one has nothing to do with the other, is there any harm in waiting until December 17th to take action on this?
Yes, there is. They had until December 11th to meet the conditions.
So they didn't give an extension?
You could give a shorter extension, certainly, if you felt. At this point, we've given we're proposing an extension to November 17th of 2020.
Yeah. So what is December 11th?
December 11th of this year, in a few days, is when they would have had to have met all the conditions. And if they don't meet the conditions, then the plan's deemed rejected or incomplete.
And we can't extend it 3 weeks.
You can. You can provide any extension
that
you feel
necessary.
Let's extend it to the end of February, because I'll try and get him to come here at the next meeting. But then first meeting in January is reorg, and you know I would certainly want.
I prefer sooner than later. I mean,
right.
So end of February.
It's up to the board.
I prefer the end of January. Developer's not here.
That gives them three more meetings to.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, regardless of this agenda item, can you and Mike Callahan reach back out to see what can be done to help these neighbors? So we want to extend until January 31st or? February 28th.
January 31st.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that the conditional approval of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Fox Glen Drive, Plat 1313, is extended to January 31st, 2020, subject to compliance with conditions A through I in the Department Head Recommendation section of this agenda item. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries.
And for the public here, I will endeavor to have the applicant at the next meeting.
Next item on the agenda, actually final item on the agenda, is K1 through 8, acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for Lot 7 at the Oaks, S-2019-021. Back to you, Chuck.
Thank you. This plan was submitted to detail the design of stormwater management facilities for a new proposed single-family dwelling at 628 Carrington Court. The applicant and property owner is Matt Tunnell. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $114,579 is to be provided. The applicant has provided the security in the form of cash and has entered into the Township Standard Agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completeness of improvements required by stormwater management site plan, by the stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending the Board of Supervisors accept the cash financial security in the amount of $114,579 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between Matt Tunnell and the Township for Lot 7 of the Oaks.
I have a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich.
So moved.
By Mr. Zamuda. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that motion carries. I'll turn to my left for board correspondence. Been hopping since last Tuesday.
No, we have the Christmas tree lighting on Saturday, in case anybody's interested. What I wanted to say about the community center, I'm personally glad we finally awarded the contracts. This has been bandied about. Turned upside down, redone again. I don't feel that any additional delays, i.e. waiting until the new board is put on, would add anything to the discussion. I think we did the right thing. And in fact, I feel we did the right thing. And in a couple of years when this is done, I think people are gonna be happy with this. I think the community is gonna be happy with this. I think when the shovels are put into the ground, we're all going to realize that this is happening. So I hope we can all work together, get back together again as a community, because this has been divisive, and it's been wearing on all of us up here. Thank you.
Mr. Warrington tonight?
Yeah, I agree with Rick. I was walking around the community 7 years ago before I got elected. It's pretty obvious then that our rec center was an embarrassment, and as far as the structure is concerned, and something needed to be done. And I still see that out in the community. People universally say we have to do something about the rec center. And I think we made the right move to move that ahead. I didn't get elected to tear Derry Township down. I got elected to move it up a little bit, I think. Repairing and rebuilding, going into rec center is a move on.
Mr. Moore, anything tonight?
I have nothing to say that I haven't already said several times.
That's how I felt too, Mr. Engel. Life
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, nothing.
All right, thank you. Chief, we'll start with you.
Nothing to say.
Dave?
I have two things. Thanksgiving dinner went very well. We served over 250 meals. We had 43 participants as far as community helping us do the servings. That was very nice. And on a lighter note, Santa will be here. I hear him on Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Fire truck is his favorite mode of transportation.
It will be.
David, that's an amazing tradition that you guys have started.
Yeah, it's received very well by the community. We love doing it.
Yeah.
They can follow us again this year on, it's an app called Glimpse, and you can actually follow Santa's routing.
So, and forgive me, I meant the tradition of Thanksgiving. That's a tradition, too.
Oh, I meant Santa.
They're both great.
Yeah, but no, the Thanksgiving, I mean, you've been doing it for 5 years. Really neat.
That's neat. Send us some information on the app to track Santa so we can put that in the email blast. So
okay, I'll do that tomorrow morning.
You can see where Santa is.
Okay.
Yeah. Tom?
Nothing, thank you.
This is the last week for leaf pickup, correct?
Yep, that's scheduled week.
Okay. Thanks for all your hard work, your team's hard work.
I will pass it along, thank you.
Jeff, anything from the library tonight?
Nothing.
Thank you. Matt, anything else?
No report, thanks.
Mr. Banana?
Matt, the repaired wetlands on Cocoa Avenue, we've gotten rid of the hops, we planted trees, planted shrubs. Is that ready to be retired?
No, not yet. I think they're going to look to respray that again this spring because it takes two or three coats of the spray to actually kill off that invasive species. We also want to do some grading in there, and I know that DTMA is looking at different contractors to make that happen. But then we still need to submit a one last report and have DEP and the Corps sign off on it.
Anything further? Lauren, tell us about Saturday.
Yes, Saturday's a big day. So we have our holiday celebration, of course, coming up on Saturday. Thanks to Parks and Rec for partnering with us on that event. We are still looking for a few volunteers in the 4 to 6 timeframe if anyone's interested. We have that sign up available on the Downtown Hershey website. Santa will be there arriving just after 3, transported in his fire sleigh, so we're grateful for that as well. Free cookies, cocoa, coffee will be provided, as well as kids' crafts, an opportunity to write letters to Santa. We also have several of our downtown businesses participating with special promotions. And new this year, we have a Downtown Hershey gnome named Snow that will be hiding in different businesses starting on Saturday and going for 2 weeks. So if people find him and snap a selfie, post it on social media, they're able to win lots of great gifts and prizes that have been donated by our businesses. So
and this is nice. It's expanded this year from the afternoon into the evening, moved to Saturday to give more families a chance to participate, not have to rush home from work. So
correct, yes.
We're also for Children's Miracle Network, Miracle Child Coming to Light the Tree, which has been a longstanding tradition, so we're excited for that too.
Yes, it has been a wonderful tradition. We're also going to be accepting Cocoa Pax presents at the event, so if anyone's interested in donating a new unwrapped toy, all of those go back to kids in need, you know, in our community, so it's a great cause. Thank you.
Mr. Richmond, anything for you this evening?
Nothing further, thank you.
I would now like a motion to approve accounts payable of $59,552.09 and payroll of $337,104.97. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Warner. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that carries. Motion carries. Now time for our final session of visitor and public comment. The same rules apply. We ask you to give us your name, your address, and please try to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Jonathan M. Chris, 226 West Chocolate Avenue. I am the attorney for AIS, the people who are on Chocolate Avenue next to the proposed Bears Creek Hotel. One thing that Chuck said is incorrect. He said that the advertisement of your 30-day notice is for both procedural and substantive issues. It is not substantive. That is a 30-day cutoff to appeal to the Dauphin County Court with regard to procedural issues only. Substantive issues can be raised at any time, either by appeal to the Zoning Hearing Board or to a curative amendment brought to this board. So it doesn't affect any substantive attacks on future attacks on the zoning ordinance you passed tonight. For those of you keeping a score at home, the Bears Creek people last week filed plan number 3 for their hotel on Chocolate Avenue. I don't know if you're aware of that. On November 25th, they have filed a third plan, evidently as an attempt to correct the issues that were raised with the second plan. I have not seen the third plan yet because Chuck has not made that available. However, let me say that I am deeply disturbed by the fact that I wrote a 10-page memorandum to this board of the law of what was wrong with Section 5429 of the proposed zoning ordinance, the downtown core standards, and that without even addressing that, you wholly, all of you, passed the new zoning ordinance. Let me say to you that it is unconstitutional. What is on Section 429, with the exception of signage and lighting to signage, and I have already spoken with several people along Chocolate Avenue who have authorized me to proceed to file immediately a contest of that section of the core board standards being put into the zoning ordinance, and that will be filed soon. It's already been prepped. It's already in my word processor. It's basically all ready to go. It's really the memorandum that I gave you last week. Let me say that my people, here's what the problem is for my people. Knowing that the court's going to come down and fine for the hotel people, they're already prepared to move. They've already had an offer from the hotel people to buy their property that came down, which is, of course, subject to the ability of the hotel people to tear down their existing, because they're going to need that for parking as it goes. And one of the major problems with the new zoning ordinance as it is drafted is that it basically prohibits any tear down of any future buildings on Chocolate Avenue. And I believe that is totally unconstitutional as drafted and amended and enacted. And that you have no right to stop a property owner from tearing down whatever properties they want, be it on Chocolate Avenue or anywhere else. And it's this attempted control of Chocolate Avenue is going to stop. So you bought yourself another lawsuit, people. Thank you.
Mr. Emmerich, is there anything that you feel the need to correct there, or should we just move on?
I'll talk to Jonathan later, but I'm looking at Section 108, and it does protect us from both challenges to the validity of the ordinance and substantive defects.
Rich Gamble on Hopkinsville Road. Well, over the past couple of years, we've witnessed quite a bit. People can leave here tonight with the opinion we have a united board and community, or we have a divided community. Do we have a serving board, or do we have a self-serving board? Do we have a board that caters to the minority and not the majority? Do we have a board that caters to the business and not the community, homeowner? Leaves a lot of opinion left open. I just hope that in the future, that the mistakes that are made won't come back to bite us. We're talking major, major expenses. We're talking many, many changes. We talk about building the community. Well, I think we need to start building with the community residents, not so much venues or bigger businesses. So again, this board, again, the opinions, how people walk out of here. If they won, it's a great. If they lose, they got their opinions. But I think we got to unite this board and come back to its whole purpose of ruling in the best interest of the community and their residents. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Kevin Ferguson, Quail Hollow Road. First, let me say that the township in the past has shown its willingness to spend extravagantly on public projects, and I think the firehouse is a perfect example of that. The community center, I don't think, is being extravagant in their spending on this. I think that when we started this about 2013, Mr. Mandia had a couple of public meetings that were well attended by the public, and they designed the project. The public designed this project. The public gave their input, telling the supervisors what they want their community center to look like. So this is designed by the public. The first bids came back in, that wasn't a good look. So that project was significantly scaled down. And now there are some that think that it's not down low enough. And I think everybody respects the concern of the costs. But the alternative, what's been put out there is the number is $20 million. There's talk that there's going to be an effort to still try to stop this project. I hope that's not the case. I hope there's thought behind that, if that is the goal. I hope that you try to consider what is $20 million going to get you. When you put in the soft costs and everything else, you're going to have to design a project that's about $14, $15 million. What are you going to get for $14 or $15 million? What are you going to eliminate from what we have now to get down to that number? The outdoor pool, I don't think so. The indoor pool, the competition pool, I don't think that's going to happen. If you want to reduce that from 35 to 25 yards, you could do that, but now you're going to irritate the community that argued that we want access to the pool. And currently, with the past project, there was no access to the pool from 3 o'clock to 7:30 at night, September to March, Monday to Friday. Even the critics of the project said, we want access to the pool. You've provided that. You want to take away the toddler warm water pool? I guess you could do that. I guess you could do that. You want to take away the basketball court? Your critics have argued they want a basketball court. So, and at $14 million, $15 million, as the community is growing, this is a project that's going to be here for 40, 50 years. I hope there's some serious thought behind that. But I want to thank the board for their efforts. You've been through a lot. But personally, I want to thank everybody for their efforts in doing this. And with regards to the, to include yourself, Mr. Mandia, I didn't want to leave you out. In regards to the foundation, I think you made a solid decision on that. If you looked at everything that was offered, you had ARM's suggestions, you had the other engineers' suggestions, you looked at everything, you had more evidence telling you that there won't be a problem with sinkholes than you had evidence telling you that there's going to be a problem with sinkholes. Over 50 years without a problem with sinkholes. I think that's a good, solid decision. An additional $500,000, and that you would have to include in your $14, $15 million budget. So again, personally, thank you very much, and I hope this is the last time we have to talk about this issue. I feel like I've grown up here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Anyone else have any comments they'd like to share tonight?
Hi, Steve Fotis, 3 Spring Creek Lane. I wasn't going to speak tonight, but I just make one quick observation. I note a somewhat dangerous assumption in this board that, and in some of the public audience members, that there's some inherent nobility in the confiscation of financial resources to support one group's vision versus another's. It may be preferable. It might be desirable. It might be the best thing. But there's a lot of speeches I heard tonight from both some supervisors and from members of the public about what a vision should be and how adoption of one's vision is important. Well, I agree with that. But it becomes a somewhat less important topic or somewhat less noble topic when it requires other people to take resources that they have and lend those resources to others to enact these visions. So I'm not necessarily opposed to anything that this board is doing currently, although some of these zoning decisions I'm going to watch very, very carefully in the future. I think the community center isn't a bad thing. I think it's probably a good thing. But I note with some apprehension a general idea that there's some glorious thing about supporting one group's vision over another's vision. It might be a good thing, and I understand, because I wasn't here for all this, I understand the agita that went into this, or at least some of the agita that went into this, but I'd like to at least put forward the notion that there's also some nobility in considering minorities and both their ability and willingness to pay for other people's ideas. And with that, I conclude my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else this evening?
Thank you. I'll try to keep this on a more positive note. As you're aware, I've provided many written comments and public comments to this board. I appreciate the fact that you've listened to me. Despite my disagreements with the board's actions, decisions, and rationales, and the mistakes that I feel have been made, in that originally this was proposed as something that was going to cost, referring to the community center, as something that wasn't going to cost any taxpayer dollars, and now that it has turned into, and my concern from the get-go was that this one project is more than doubling our outstanding debt. Despite that, despite my failure to delay decisions on this center, I'm willing to discuss any questions or concerns this or the future board has with what I have provided, either in orally or in my written email comments. I do thank the board for previous presentations dealing with as I feel a continuing need for a bypass to Middletown Road and prevention of any major connections to that road without such a bypass. Finally, I recommend, as I did before, that the written and email comments that are made to the board be provided via the Derry Township's website so that those that do not have the ability to attend these meetings but have concerns can see what they are. And as the previous speaker had mentioned, when you have a minority that wants the use of what it's called OPM, other people's money, that is a very significant concern for me, being a resident of this area for over, and my family for over 65 years. I've seen great changes from the point that there was no community center. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be one. Something is appropriate, but the expenditures on such and the technical and engineering aspects, which some of you, and I appreciate Supervisor Moyer's comments in those regards, need to be better taken into account, because I think we've all made mistakes, and there have been mistakes regarding how this center was promoted. I wish a good one be put into the system, but with caution, such that we do not endanger the public's lives, livings, or welfare. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else have any comments this evening? If not, I'd like to personally, on behalf of the board, thank you all for coming. For many of you, this is a regular occurrence that you come to our meetings. We appreciate your comments and your feedback. We appreciate what we go through as a board and what the staff goes through in trying to make the best decisions for our entire community. And we thank you for your support and your comments. Do I have a...
I just
want to
hang around.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting? I'll make the motion to adjourn tonight's meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.